Friends, this was a crowded week around St. John's, and Paula and I got a lot done together this week, but one of the things we did not get done successfully was to get into the leaflet, the title, and the text of this sermon. So, this is a sermon under the title, The Problem with Sheep. The Problem with Sheep. And the text is that first line that you heard in the Gospel, I am the Good Shepherd. We have two really different ideas to hold together today, two very distinct ideas, and both of them are contained in that single reading you heard from the Gospel of John. One's at the beginning and one is at the end. The one at the beginning gives us the theme for the whole day. In case it hasn't hit you over the head yet, today is Good Shepherd Sunday. In the old tradition of the church, on this day we link this way that Jesus tries to explain himself to the people around him with a long list of appropriate imagery. The 23rd Psalm, The Lord is my shepherd. And one of the hymns we've already sung and another one we're going to sing. And both of the anthems the choir is going to sing. And even the collect of this day, O God, whose Son Jesus is the good shepherd of your people. Jesus the shepherd. And we, the sheep, a sort of sweet, mild, meek image. And at the end of that 8-verse-long gospel lesson, we get a very different image of Jesus, an image of command. Really an image of a ruler, of a king. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to pick it up again. So I'm going to try to bring those two images together by bringing to bear a little help in the form of a small digression into music appreciation. But before I do that, I want to begin by telling you a little bit about life in Hardwick, Massachusetts. You may know that Hardwick is the place you are most likely to find me if I am not here. It is a town that I have known now for about 25 years. It's a place I first visited when my friend Paul Wilkes lived at a place called Goat Hill Farm, and he kept sheep there. Now, you will probably think that they were meek and mild. Not quite. The problem with sheep is that they have a lot of bad habits, not least the habit of deciding to strike out on their own from time to time when they get bored. On a day in the summer, Paul suddenly discovered that one of the three sheep in his little flock had managed to get out of the enclosure in front of the red barn behind the house and was off exploring parts unknown. Now, Hardwick is still a rural place, really even an agricultural place, and it wasn't long before the telephone rang, and at the other end was a neighbor calling to say that the wayward sheep had appeared in the front yard of her house, and would we perhaps want to come along and collect it? Now, it happened that there were a few of us visiting the farm that day, all of us from Boston and Cambridge, and so we all piled into a minivan and went up the hill of Upper Church Road to the helpful neighbor's house to collect the fugitive. As we drove up the driveway, there was a very self-satisfied sheep grazing away peacefully on the neighbor's lawn under the watchful eye of the neighbor's 12-year-old son. I am not entirely sure just what we thought we were going to do. But all of us overeducated, supremely confident, and very sedentary in our habits, bounded out of the minivan and began to make for our quarry. Now you see, we think of sheep as dumb. And it is true that they're not all that bright, or else they wouldn't wander away by themselves across the countryside crawling with coyotes. They don't know, in other words, what is best for them. But that does not stop them from wandering. Sheep may be dumb, but they have a mind of their own. A tiny little mind of their own. And take my word for it, they are quick. I will now spare myself a lot of embarrassment by simply summarizing what happened next. One of us would lunge for that animal, and it would just dart away at the last minute. We'd try double-teaming it, and it would just run away in another direction. Pretty soon, all five of us were throwing ourselves all over the front yard, diving for a leg, or trying for a handful of fleece, or just about anything, and eating a lot of grass ourselves. Now, the 12-year-old was watching all of this, which, of course, made the whole experience all the more mortifying. And eventually, at just about the point that three out of the five of us were lying stretched out on the grass in exhaustion, and the other two were catching their breath, this 12-year-old speaks up and says, "Would you like some help?" To which, of course, the answer was, "Not really." But after all, it was his yard, and we sort of figured we had to let him join in. But then he did a very strange thing. He simply walked away from us, putting more distance between us and him and the sheep. And then, sure enough, that damn sheep started following him. He got slower, and the sheep got slower. He stopped, and the sheep stopped. And then he turned around to face all of us. And the sheep was still looking right at him. "Start walking toward me," he said. So we did. "Slowly," he said. We slowed down. The little animal started munching grass again. Once in a while, it would look up to see what was happening around. We kept coming closer, and that boy did not move. Eventually, we drew closer and closer, and the sheep heard us coming. She stopped eating grass, and she looked back toward us, and by now, she was in the middle of a circle, and we were as close to her as the boy was, and she tensed, and we tensed, and the boy said, "Don't worry, just keep walking." He never took his eyes off that sheep. He did not move an inch, and we kept walking slowly, and I could see that she began to gauge the closing distance of the spaces between us. But what she was really noticing was that only one person was not moving. And as we got to about 3 feet from her, she turned and ran right for the one thing that was standing still, that 12-year-old boy. Just about right into his arms. I don't mind telling you that I was no small amount impressed by that. We bundled her into the minivan and we drove back down the hill. The problem with sheep is not that they are dumb. It is that they are dumb and willful. It is that they have minds of their own, tiny minds of their own, that are quite determined that they want to have big adventures and wonderful plans ahead, minds that do not see the dangers that lie in wait for them out in the big world. They only see grass and the possibility of more grass beyond. They do not lack in ideas. They have plenty of ideas. They have big ideas for eating more grass. You cannot fault them for a lack of focus. They are very focused. They are very motivated. They know what they want in life. We generally don't hold sheep in high regard, but isn't it funny that those are the same qualities that we generally admire in people? We admire people who have minds of their own. We admire people who know what they want and go out into the world to get it. We think of sheep as followers, as the mindless masses. But all of those characteristics that we so admire in our colleagues, in our competitors, goal-oriented, focused, determined, willful, those are exactly what make sheep, sheep. And that is why when the Bible speaks of sheep, it is talking about us. Not because we are followers, but because we are wanderers. Not because we lack focus, but because too often we get focused on the wrong things. The things that seem so important to us. Greener grass. More and more and more of it. That is our focus. And when the prophets talk about the sheep of God's pasture, they have us right in their sights. That is one image we have in mind today. And the other is radically different. It's the image at the end of this compact gospel reading, the triumphant image of the commanding Christ. Christ the King, throned in glory, revealed for who it is he truly is. It is a truth confessed by the thief on the cross, the one person in the whole drama who gets it immediately, who sees through the shame and the speculation right to the absolute truth of Jesus. Jesus, the King of heaven and earth, the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is the still point at the place where God and all of creation intersect for all time. Those are two very different images. Maybe hard to hold together at once. So, I want to call in a little help in giving you a way to think about them for today. A little help that I am going to draw from something you have heard many, many times in your life and are going to hear again and again. I am speaking of that old war horse of all cantatas, Handel's Messiah. I want you to leave here today with just a little bit of a music appreciation way of understanding the gospel. So here goes. You all know, of course, that Handel did not write the words to the Messiah. The King James Bible did that, with a little help from Charles Jennens, the librettist, who selected the text from the Bible and arranged those texts to tell the story Handel wanted to tell. But it was Handel who matched the music to the words. And this is where his mastery really shows, because Handel was a text painter. His music is composed to reflect and express the idea held in the words. Even if you only know a little bit about the Bible, the texts are probably familiar to you, and the idea of them will be given to you by the music. And when it comes to sheep in Messiah, Handel has plenty of sources to draw on, and he turns to the prophets, and especially to Isaiah, the 6th verse of the 53rd chapter. What does he write about? All we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way. Simple enough. But now listen to how Handel describes those sheep. Here it is. So simple. Oh, wandering away. Now it's a little simple again. Pleasant little hillside view. There go some. Here go some more. Everybody's wandering away, right? The sheep and the music are just going in all directions. Pretty soon it's going to be like divided here. Here are the boys. And here go the girls. And now everybody is going in their own direction, right? Isn't that amazing? Handel gets sheep exactly right. He knows exactly what sheep are, and he's trying to tell us in that music how sheep, simple, maybe happy, yes, willful, wandering, scattered around the hillside, seeking our own fortunes, filled with our own ideas, not seeing our true place in the scheme of things. And certainly willing to follow off behind just about any shepherd promising us more grass. But then there's the other image we have today. The image of the King. Christ the King. King of kings and Lord of lords. Those are the words Handel uses. And most of you I know can just think that up without even needing me to tell you what it is, right? This is what it is. Now what do you notice about this music? It's solid, it's immovable, it's right on the same note. Right? It is like the Christ that stands at the still point of the whole universe, not moving, so that we know where safety is. Christ the Shepherd comes after us when our willful ways set us wandering away. Like that 12-year-old boy I met long ago, he is the only still point in our field of vision as the temptations and disasters of this world come crowding in on us. Christ the King stands at the fixed point of our world, a world in which we insist on chasing after each new passion, each new idea, each new profit, each glimpse of greener grass. The shepherd who becomes the victim becomes the Christ who rises triumphantly from the grave, the King who sits at the one point in the whole universe that is not spinning out of control. That King is the shepherd who knows us and, despite all, comes looking after us, chasing after us, and standing right in front of us until we are no longer afraid. That is our King. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. Amen.